All right. Very good. So now I can start. We're going to do a lesson about God and money. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Basically, we're finishing 1 Timothy. I'm assuming, I haven't heard, but Oscar's in charge of this. I assume we're going to do 2 Timothy next. Okay. All right. That makes sense, right? 1 Timothy, then follow that with 2 Timothy. Yeah. It kind of makes sense. All right. So 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now I'm going to read the first little section that has nothing to do with our topic, because it's the context. Just get the context. So we're going to start by reading 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. I think we might even have read this last week or the week before. Mm-hmm. What was the topic last week?
Relationships.
Right. Okay, good. These are the things you should teach and insist on. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not agree to the sound instruction of our Lord Jesus Christ and to godly teaching, they're conceited and understand nothing. They have an unhealthy interest in controversies and quarrels about words that result in envy, strife, malicious talk, evil suspicions, and constant frictions between people of corrupt mind who have been robbed of the truth and who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. All right, so Paul's addressing again these false teachers, right? And one of the ways he suggests you can detect a false teacher is they love controversy. All right? False teachers love controversy. They like to just throw something out there, you know, that's different. Everybody teaches this, so they want to teach the exact opposite just to get you to start listening to them. All right? They love to spend time on controversies. But in Philippians 3:16, Paul says, well, let's just read it. Philippians 3:16. There's all kinds of stuff we could talk about. There may be even in the Bible. You know, like Aaron raised it. People debate over what was the thorn in the flesh of Paul. You know, like, forgive me, but what a waste of time. You know, what a waste of time. But, you know, if you want to spend an hour reading all the commentaries about that, feel free. You know what I'm saying? By the way, nothing wrong with Aaron bringing that up. That was great. That's fine. Yeah. Or the age of the earth, people debate this. Does that really actually matter in biblical Christianity? Philippians 3:16. I'll go back to verse 15. All of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. So Paul taught a whole bunch of stuff. And he's saying, everybody should agree with me on this. Everybody should. But then he says, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Amen. Only let us live up to what we've already attained. In other words, we got enough trouble doing the stuff we know we're supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? Like making Jesus Lord and teaching about God's love, keep teaching about sin, teaching about generosity, all the stuff that's in the Bible. So Paul's like, you know, I don't even care if you agree with me on some relatively unimportant thing. He said, the things you know, let's just do those things. But these false teachers, no, they love controversy. And one of the reasons they love controversy is because, you know what? If you want to earn a PhD in theology, if you have the theory that the Bible is inspired by God, they won't even listen to your theory. You got to be controversial, you know what I'm saying? So you got to say, no, Paul didn't write Ephesians. Now, if you want to write a thesis saying Paul wrote Ephesians, they won't even accept your thesis.
What?
No, because that's boring and, that's not cutting edge. You know what I'm saying? So there's this tendency towards, if you want to make money, you got to be controversial. All right. So moving on to our scripture for tonight. Okay. Where'd I put my...
Some picture on the floor.
It's because I put it there. All right. Now, let's get to the actual scripture that, all right, seek sound instruction, avoid controversies and quarrels. For them, it's about money. Instead of seeking controversy, 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 10. So Paul wants to take Timothy back to the important stuff. Here we go. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Right? This is the opposite of this teacher seeking attention and to get people all stirred up about unimportant things. He says, no, godliness with contentment is great gain. If we brought nothing into the world. Now remember, who's he talking to?
Christians.
Talking to Timothy. He's talking to an evangelist, his right-hand guy. And he's concerned that Timothy could lose focus. Right? Yeah. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Now, how many of you want to get rich? Thank you for being honest. Okay, good. Met a guy came up to the table today. We asked him what he wants to do, and he wants to become famous and rich. It's like
our franchise. Give yeah, yeah. Business.
I'm thinking, but never mind that. But never mind that.
But he has something.
Yeah. Hey, at least he's got some gumption. You get. Yeah. But bottom line is, he wants to get rich.
Yeah.
All right. But it says here, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Wow. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. I was having a discussion with Alvin before you guys got here, and Alvin said, money is from the devil. I said, money is not from the devil. Money is one of the most brilliant inventions ever. Imagine if you wanted to buy 1,000 barrels of oil and you had to do barter. So you bring all your potatoes. I mean, you know, whatever. Money is a great invention. Really?
Sure is.
It's not from the devil. But the love of money. You see that? Got it? All right. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Paul is concerned that this could happen to
Timothy.
Is it for all of us? Yes, of course. This is for all of us.
Yeah.
But the context, he's concerned about Timothy, a minister. Have very highly devoted, zealous people in the ministry ever turned aside because they weren't getting enough money out of that? Has that ever happened? Yeah, it has. Paul's doing a heart check with Timothy. And he asks him a simple question. Are you content? Because you know what? Timothy at this time was leading the church in Ephesus. Do you think that was an easy job?
No.
I think that was a really, really hard job.
They got two letters.
I'm sure it wasn't making him wealthy. I assume they probably paid him, I guess. I don't know how that worked. But it caused a lot of heartache, a lot of worries. We were having this conversation. You know, it was a little bit tough week. So, you know, Oscar and Giselle and I were like, wow, this is hard right now. This is really hard right now. It's like, oh, man. Yeah. So it's pretty tempting to go on and do something else that gets more money. Right? And so, Paul's addressing this simple question with Timothy, is it worth it? And the answer, of course, intellectually, we all know is, well, yeah. So what's the secret? Right there. Contentment. So one of the things we have to ask ourselves tonight is, are you content with what you have. Adam and Eve had everything. They had fellowship with God. They had access to the tree of life. You know? But there was that other tree. And just having that tree there, it kind of ate at them and ate at, this is a joke, it was ate at them. Right. Yeah. Is what God has already given you enough for you? This is a deep question. What would you be content with? We're having a discussion about cell phones today on campus. And Alvin said, I would not give up my cell phone. No, I would not do it. It was in the context of taking care of his mom, by the way, just so you know. Like,
oh, you mean Oscar.
What did I see? Alvin. Oscar. Like but it kind of led to a philosophical discussion, you know? Would you give up your cell phone? And the answer for most of us is, no way! Right?
It was
kind of a fun philosophical discussion.
It's too important nowadays. It's a multi-tool.
Yeah, because I believe most of us would not be content if we didn't have a cell phone.
It's such so weird because our cell phone's probably taken away.
And 40 years ago, nobody had a cell phone. And now you need it. You gotta have it. And we're Christians. It's amazing what we would not be content with. Imagine if we didn't have air conditioning in this house. Mm-hmm. How many of you would even come? Sure. But until 100 years ago, air conditioning didn't even exist.
Fans.
Yeah, you could call that air conditioning. It's a form. So would you be willing, for the sake of the kingdom, to just not watch the World Cup at all?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I'm just asking. I'm just asking.
Easy.
Yeah, that's...
I want to know about the Super Bowl.
Easy.
Use it to...
Would you be willing to, I don't know...
Give up your cell phone.
Give up your car. So you're taking the bus for the next 6 months.
Or walking.
Yeah, like Alva does all the time.
Man, we used to walk a lot.
Josh does too.
You know... Lately, it's not the way, but the first 15, 20 years of me going overseas everywhere, I'd go for 3 weeks and like, no news. I would call Jen maybe once a week, but it was expensive. I'd be going a week, no news, no sports. I missed the Super Bowl more than once. I missed 4th of July like 5 years in a row. And, it's like, so what? But on the other hand, it's like, wow, that was hard, actually. Paul said if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. Now, I'm going to add to the scriptures. I know you're not supposed to do that. But I would say food, clothing, and shelter. I mean, food, clothing, and shelter.
Amen.
I don't know why he didn't add that. He just didn't, okay? So my question for you tonight is, would you be content if all you had was food, clothing, and shelter? That means no restaurants. I mean just food, like ramen, and maybe enough vegetables so that you're at least reasonably healthy. Yeah, for us, we go to the store, and there, count them, 100 kinds of cereal. 100 kinds of cereal. And for me, I've got 6 kinds in my thing because I don't want to have the same cereal twice, 2 days in a row.
What?
Would I be content if I only had Cheerios for the rest of my life?
I love Cheerios.
I like Cheerios.
Okay.
Or your cholesterol.
How about just eating gruel?
Oh, what is that?
Just hot cereal, basically. Just...
Oatmeal?
Whatever, something, you know. In Africa, that's what they eat every day, gruel. Or they call it pap, or they call it, they have different names for it.
Porridge,
yes. No coffee, no restaurants. Would you be content with that? I'll tell you right now, I personally would not be content with food, clothing, and shelter. You know why? Because I'm an American.
We've had it for too many years.
Yeah.
They were spoiled.
So here's what Paul says to Timothy. Godliness with contentment is great gain. I remember I was talking to a guy in Oslo. I was there a few years ago. I said, it was just one of the leaders in the church. And I said to him, so what's your goal in life? And he said, my goal in life is to have a house in this part of the city because it's really nice over there and great for my kids for school. I'm like, that's your goal in life as a Christian, to live in a nice house? Really? Maybe I asked the wrong question, or maybe he didn't understand what I was asking. I did actually challenge the guy a little bit. Yeah. All right, what about contentment in relation to money? Are you content with the amount of money that you have? That doesn't mean it's wrong. I'll talk about that later, to want to move in a direction where you'll have more later on. But are you content with the money that you have? Now, Paul says something that might be a little bit controversial. He says, the love of money is the root of every kind of evil. Now, I'm going to throw a term out there, kind of a fun term. It's a bellwether. You ever heard of a bellwether? You know what a bellwether is? It's also a harbinger. The Bible lists three things that it says, if you have this one on nailed, then everything else will do good too. There's three things you can use to gauge your spirituality. One of them is the use of the tongue. Let's read James 3:2. James tells us, if you have full and complete reign on your tongue, you'll be perfect.
Yeah.
He actually says that. And I think he's not even using hyperbole. I think he's saying something that's true. James 3, verse 2. So he says, we all stumble in many ways. Can we agree with that? Yeah, we can.
Amen.
But he says, anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check. So he said, if you could control your tongue perfectly, you'd be set, man. You'd just be there. So if you want to know how you're doing spiritually, look at how you use your tongue. Another one is in Philippians 2, 14 through 15. So these are harbingers. It's like the proverbial canary in the mine, right?
Yeah.
How do you know if there's a problem? If the canary dies,
yep,
you're going to die.
Get out of there. Yeah.
And if you have a problem with your tongue, then you got a problem with everything. And if you got a problem with money, then you got a problem with everything. That's what Paul's telling us. The other harbinger is thankfulness versus grumbling. Philippians 2.
That was my first memory scripture ever.
Yep. Philippians 2, 14 through 15. Now, you memorized it, but the question is, did you put it into practice?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Amen.
Did you complain about anything?
Yeah. Not as much as a lot of people. Honestly, I'm serious. You're
serious.
Not as much as a lot of people. I'd say you're actually pretty good on that list. I'm not just saying that. Philippians 2, 14 through 15. Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure. I mean, if you could go through life without any grumbling or complaining, then you would be practically sinless, because that's such a hard thing. All right, so there's three harbingers, or they call it a bellwether, all right, of your spirituality, which is your tongue, your grumbling and complaining, but your money. So let's go back. Now, so I don't think literally, that love of money is the root of every sin. In other words, I'm not sure love of money would be the reason you would, I don't know. Well, a lot of them, it really is the root of it. But I'm sure we could think of at least one sin. It's like, really? You know, it's the love of money is the root of sexual immorality? Probably. I mean, that's a little bit of a stretch. But on the other hand, if you could deal with the love of money, then you'd be able to deal with those things as well. I really believe that. So what's your attitude about money? All right, let's go back to our scripture. Back to our scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 6. So we've had two things here, two points here. Number one, godliness with contentment. And probably everybody in this room is pretty lousy at that. Probably all of us are pretty lousy at that. Okay? I like to think I'm slightly better than average on being content. But I'm pretty lousy at it, to be honest with you. The stuff I'd willingly just say, yeah, that's cool, I'll just give that up, that's fine. You know? And the other one is just understanding the love of money. Do you love money? And the answer is all of us do, at least to some extent. If you say you don't love it at all, I don't believe you. But possibly you're way better than the rest of us. It's possible. But the love of money is the root of every kind of evil. Okay, now let's read 1 Timothy 6, starting in verse 11. And he appears to change the subject, but he's not. You know how I know that? Because when we get to verse 17, he's still on the same subject. So these whatever five verses, you think he's not talking about money, but he is. Right? He is. So let's read it. It says, but you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. We had a fun discussion about this on Monday, because it says, in the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession. So we tried to figure out what that was. I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. He's going out. He's talking about money. Wow. Right? And this whole thing, he's talking to Timothy about money. Let me kind of reread part of it here. I charge you to keep this command. What command? To flee from the love of money. I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen or can see, to him be honor and glory and might forever. When Paul says flee the love of money, he's like, he's really serious. He's like, whoa, this, he's going into this flourish of rhetoric. It's like, whoa. And what's the opposite of loving money? It's pursuing righteousness, godliness. But if you love money, then you're not going to be able to pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness, and all those things. So he says, flee. Reminds me of Joseph. Yeah. Potiphar's wife is tempting him and say, have sex with me, have sex with me. Did he want to have sex with Potiphar's wife?
No.
Of course he did. Come on.
I don't know that.
Well, maybe, maybe not. Was he tempted?
Yeah, sure. Was tempted.
He was tempted.
Like, no, that's dishonorable. Yeah. That.
Maybe he didn't. Maybe I'd give him more credit. I'm being too negative there. Probably there was a part of him. There's probably at least a part of him.
It was a part.
Yeah, probably. Joseph was amazing. So, Joseph, I apologize for you know, that's probably not fair to you. He said, yeah, but it's a good preaching point. So, thank you.
Yeah.
Cool.
No, but when Potiphar's wife went for him, he went running out of that room and he left his coat behind and got him in big trouble. If you're feeling attracted to online gambling, flee from that. Run away from it. If you feel attracted to video games in ways that is drawing you away from God, shut it down. Don't play it at all. When I was studying the Bible with my friend Gary, you met Gary, right? On the hike in the canyon. Yeah. And we were doing Luke 14. I said, you know, give up everything you have. And he started crying. He was like bawling. Wow. He's kind of an emotional guy. He's bawling. Larry, what's wrong? He said, I have to give up camping. I said, what's wrong with camping? He's there. You don't understand. You don't understand. And by the time we're done with this conversation, yeah, Gary, you need to give up camping. Flee from camping. Flee from social media. Unless, of course, it's not a problem for you, then maybe you don't have to flee from it. I don't know. But I know one thing. Love of money is a problem for all of us. Some more than others. So Paul says, you, woman of God, flee from the love of money. So what are you going to replace it with?
Righteousness, godliness.
Yeah, righteousness, godliness, but also eternal life, right? You know, Jesus gave the good confession, and Timothy gave the good confession. Everyone in this room, I believe, said Jesus is Lord.
That's right.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Kevin, yeah. I think I was there. Yeah. You said Jesus is Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You said Jesus is Lord. Money is crap or whatever. It's junk. It's junk. It's like worthless.
Give it up.
Yeah, and the book of Ezekiel describes people on the day of the Lord taking their gold and throwing it out into the street like trash. That's going to be what they're going to think. You know? So it basically says, take hold of that promise of eternal life. Now, I've said this before, and Zane gave me the wrong answer, but he's going to get it right this time. What's any number divided by infinity?
Infinity. He said it wrong again.
Negative infinity.
Zero.
Zero!
Yeah. That's how I said in my brain.
It's any number by infinity is zero. He did that on purpose. He did that. He knew it. He knew the right answer.
John.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's what that stuff is worth. It's worth zero. Jesus says you can't serve both God and money. But a lot of us, we serve money in different ways. And I'm not free of this. I'm not sitting here I'm not claiming to be some amazing example on this. I think probably Jan and I are probably better than average on this, honestly. But, you know. All right, 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19. Says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth. I tell you right now, I put some hope in wealth. We started using a financial planner, I don't know, like 3-4 years ago. And there's this website where you can go and find out how much your current wealth is. And I probably go there more than once a month, as if it really matters. Oh, did it go up or did it go down? You know, you just call that curiosity. You could call that, yeah. I'm feeling pretty safe right now, you know, because that number's right up there, you know. Yeah. Let me finish reading. Do not put your hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. For our enjoyment. God wants you to have fun. God wants you to eat really good tasting food. He wants you to go on a nice vacation. He wants you to have children and to live a life that's blessed.
Amen.
That's his intention for you. But if you seek those things first, right? It's, I like this. He says, put their hope in God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. I mean, it's not like it's a competition. It's not like, you know, God's trying to steal from you so that you have this dreary, ugly life. But we don't believe that. We believe that we have to grab it. We need to grab it now. Instead of letting it give it to us in his own good time. And that applies to money. So, it says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and have it to the full. That's his intention. But we make it really hard. You know how we do that? By loving money. So are you rich? I looked up the average monthly salary in Cuba is $16 a month. That's the official salary. $16 a month. Now, nobody lives on that, so I don't know what they do. They find ways, I guess. That's sort of a weird number. It's true. So I think a better way to compare is I looked up, because I was in Liberia a few years ago. I'm like, wow, this country is really poor. We're driving down the main highway of the entire country, and the gas stations are people sitting on the side of the road with a bench and bottles of gasoline, you know, that's their gas station. So I looked it up. The average annual income for an entire family in Liberia is somewhere between $3,200 and $3,800, depending where you live. So $3,500. $300 a month for an entire family.
Wow.
All right. People living at the poverty level in America are making roughly five times that. So, yeah, command those who are rich. Now, some of us are even richer than others, you know. It's true. Some of us are like hecka rich. It's almost embarrassing how rich we are. Others of us are not hecka rich. They're just rich. I mean, you know, you go out and buy deodorant. In Liberia, do you think they buy deodorant? Well, try going to Liberia. You'll find out that they don't. Never mind. Yeah. Yeah. Do you think they go to Starbucks? They don't even have Starbucks. Do you think they drink coffee? The average person in Liberia never, ever. Maybe they might have one cup of coffee a year. Okay. They're lucky if they have meat once a month. That's just normal. There's a brother in the church there who's basically the church hired him to be kind of the teacher for the church. They're paying him $100 a month. That was his salary. $100 a month.
Is he from Liberia?
No, that's the thing. He's from Nigeria, so it's even crazier. Because Nigeria, probably the average income is probably $6,000 instead of $3,000. Yeah, the couple that went there from Nigeria, I can't even imagine how they, the sacrifice for them to go from Lagos to lead that church, I can't even conceive of it. I mean, it's, in that church, it's like 98 degrees and 98% humidity all the time. Wow. And I'm up there speaking and I'm just dying. For them, it's every day. It's near the equator. They don't have cool weather. Yeah, godliness. So the point I'm making is, just so you know, oh, relatively poor person in America. I'm not denying that. Some people in America have a lot less. And we as Christians, I believe, have a duty even to help alleviate that. You know what I'm saying? But I'll tell you this, if they had a food distribution in Libya, people wouldn't be driving there. Are you kidding? You know, because, right, people drive to our food distribution.
Yes, they do.
I don't mean to put that down. Don't take that the wrong way. Please. Don't take that the wrong way. But I'm telling you, if they had a food distribution in Liberia, first of all, they wouldn't. But if they did, nobody would drive there. If somebody drove there, there's no way they'd give them
any
food.
Yeah, I was just saying that with the homeless people. I'm like, okay, this food is great for people that have a home, but the food, how are they able to cook it?
Yeah.
That's
so Paul's advice to the wealthy is this, you folks. By the way, I've been in a lot of countries, and I pay attention to this. I ask myself, how do people, you know, what's it like here? The two countries I've been in that I felt were the happiest countries that I've ever been in, just people laughing, it just is, the countries are Cameroon and Guinea. Guinea is at least as poor as Liberia. In Guinea, they don't even have banks.
What?
They literally don't even have banks. I brought books there, which I always do, and I sold some books to these people that don't even speak English, you know. And that to buy a book, the stack of money was like this high. I am not exaggerating. So when I got to the airport, I had a stack. And it was like $80. It's like.
Oh, in USD converted?
Yeah, because they don't have, you know. But I'm telling you, on average, the people I met there were happier than on average the people in this room are. Just this is my experience. It's like, okay. At night in Conakry, they don't have electricity. There's no lights. People with candles. And that's the people that have more money. That could afford candles every night. Because a lot of people probably can't afford a candle every night. Yeah. Wow. But they're happy. I spent hours just kind of walking around in Conakry, just meeting people. And they are just so friendly and, yeah. But really, Cameroon even happier. That's the funniest, it's just the funniest country. Yeah. So Paul's advice to us, the rich, us, is to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. So is that you? Or are you like, I don't have much, so I can't really share? Well, yes, you can. You can share a lot. Absolutely. Now, for you, it may not be money. Maybe it's something else. But it's got to be something. It's got to be something. You got to share. Because he says, that way, you're going to have the best retirement plan ever. Your 401k will be $1 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, do we believe that? Do we believe that? I hope you do. But as Americans, I know you probably don't, at least not as much as you should, because I know Americans. And when I go overseas to a place like that, I come back, I kind of shake my head. It's like, remember when we landed in Singapore after being in Indonesia, and Jan was like, yeah, because we're back where people with money are, and you can just stop in coffee shop and get a croissant or something like that, you know, stuff that we take for granted. All right? So God and money. All right, how am I doing? 8:28, a few little tiny advices. Just throw this in. This is just extra stuff. Romans 13:8, don't get in debt. All right, if you owe money on a credit card, I'm not going to say sin. I'm going to say just foolish, bad idea. With exceptions, I'm not going to judge. I'm just saying, if you are in debt, then get a debit card. And once you've learned how to use a debit card for a few months, for a couple of years, get a credit card. By the way, credit cards are awesome. No, they are, for people who know how to use them. Because every month, all of our expenses are on one piece of paper. It's all there. And we pay it. When was the last time I didn't pay off? It's 30 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
You get percent back.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah, I do. So number one, you know, if you want to be, if you want to be this person, because you're a rich person, if you want to be this person who's going to be rich in good deeds, generous and willing to share, do not go into debt on credit cards, period. Exception, I'm not going to judge, all right? And don't loan money to brothers and sisters. Don't do it. Just don't do it. I'll give you an example. So my son was trying to buy a car. And so he needed to take out a loan to buy a car. And the bank said they wouldn't give him the loan. They needed us to co-sign. He said, would you co-sign? I said, I'm not going to co-sign. He said, why not? Well, I said, there's a reason they're not giving you the loan. If they won't give you the loan, why would I want to give you the loan? Now, I did it sort of tongue-in-cheek, but I turned him down. So what he did was he bought a cheaper car.
Nice.
You know, and he had it for, what, 8 years? Yeah. The bank was willing to give him that loan.
Yeah.
So I'd say don't loan money to brothers and sisters. Just don't do it. There's a reason they're borrowing from you. Now, by the way, if there's a need, give the money. And if you can't, find somebody else to give it to them. Okay? Just advice. Proverbs 13:11. All right. Whoever gathers money little by little makes it grow. So do... if you hear somebody say, oh, you're going to make $5,000 a month, blah, blah, blah. No. Nope. Nope. Get quick... invest in... crypto. Nope.
Okay.
Nope. Whatever. Don't do it. All right? Be careful about get-rich-quick schemes. Save and grow your money slowly and steadily. And do it as early as possible. Tim, you're what, 22? Did your job give you at least a little something for retirement? And did you take full advantage of that? Amen. All right. That's what you want to do. Okay? Got it? Spend money carefully. Now, one of the problems in our church is, unfortunately, those who has us who have money, we go out to nice lunches on Sunday, and people can't come, you know what I'm saying? But you know what? If you can't come, then don't come. But probably we should go to cheaper places for lunch, honestly. But that's just the deal. Yeah.
$1.50 hot dogs.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a terrible thing, but I'm just saying, you know, we probably need to be a little bit more careful. So that those who have less money, and they do, they shouldn't be coming, right? Because they don't have money. Yep. And by the way, if somebody doesn't have money, then don't pay for them in that case. Usually. I mean, do it one time. One time. One time's fine. But if they don't have money, that means they don't have money, which means they probably shouldn't go. So, you know, my advice is if somebody doesn't have money, then, you know, maybe pay for their meal one time. You know, come on, pay for their meal one time. That's fine. But don't pay for their meal every time. If they don't have money, then they just shouldn't go. Yeah, need to get a job. Because then you're enabling them in that situation. Just a little piece of advice. Proverbs 3:9-10 says, honor God with your money. That's not in the outline, but it's there. Let me see. I have just a couple little mini advices. Save little by little. Have a plan. Develop a career plan which you can reasonably expect to have a decent income. And because at some point you want to be able to serve the kingdom more and more and more, not less and less and less. Okay? So don't be embarrassed if you're seeking a career which ultimately will pay you pretty well. That's a good thing. Deanne and I, working with the singles in San Diego, we had a few guys in our ministry who just had sort of junk jobs their whole life. It's okay. They're going to heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know what I'm saying? But
they're still single.
They can't really serve the church very much. They're just always trying to figure out how to get to church and how to, you know, just, you know. So I'd say don't be that person. It's... have a career that makes money. Absolutely. That's not love of money. That's smart. In fact, Where is it? Uh-oh. It's not, oh, where's that scripture? I think it might be on the slide. Oh yeah, Luke 16, 1 through 9. Use worldly wealth to gain friends. Right? So these guys, they're living in a sort of nice house there. So they're gonna have people over and they're gonna have a party and people are gonna study the Bible and they can become Christians. So it's not bad to have stuff. It's really not. In fact, God, He probably wants you to have stuff. He probably does. Which means, as an American, you'll be in the top 3% of money of everybody in the world. Like 94% of people will be way poorer than you, and you don't even have to feel guilty about that. But let's go back and I'll be done. God says to us, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. Okay? So that's our lesson. 8:35.
Thank you.
We don't have discussion questions, so I didn't come up with any.
Maybe you'll have questions.
Yeah, any questions about...
Can you go back to the last couple of slides? Before that. Oh, yeah, okay. So about loaning and borrowing. Is there maybe an upper and lower limit that you would advise to be like, do not, well, I think there's like common sense.
When people ask me if they can borrow money, almost always I say no.
Like any amount.
Any amount, yeah.
Like if I was like, hey, can
I'll say, hey, I'll give you $100.
Yeah. I wanted to, so.
By the way, this is not a rule. It's not a rule. You can, if you choose to do that, it's just advice. It's all it is advice.
Yeah, what I do.
But there's reasons for that.
I've done it before. And then what I encourage is to only loan or, only loan what you're willing to give away.
Yeah.
So if it's like, it's like, okay, am I willing to give $500 to this person?
Knowing that,
Never get it back? Yeah. And knowing that that's going to happen? Sure, here you go. If I get it back, great. If I don't, amen.
Right, but that can be hard. That's harder than you think.
It is, but only...
I'd say...
I can't just give you $1,000, bro.
Dang it!
You know, but $100, you know, I'm willing to... Yeah, go ahead, bro.
I'd say just give it to him.
I'm not really the kind to ask for money. I'm more of the kind of people. Yeah, but I'm willing to give.
Anyway, this is just advice. Take it for what it's worth. But hard experience tells me that when somebody says they'll pay you back and they don't, there's a reason they're borrowing money usually.
Yeah.
Typically. Not always. There's exceptions. But there's a reason they're borrowing money, because they're the kind of person who probably... There's a good chance they won't pay you back because that's
I've been burned before.
Anyway, Jen.
Well, I was thinking about, you know, people borrowing a car, and if they can't afford to, you know, pay you back, then they shouldn't be borrowing your car.
Yeah, I mean, people have different thoughts on that, but because you have insurance, but still, yeah. I let a friend use my car and he totaled it, and so that was, you know,
that and a sister Cassie.
Yeah, so, you know.
One of the brothers. I do have a different perspective.
Yeah, not everybody's going to have, right, we're not all going to have the same thinking on this, just so you know, just so you know.
If your car gets crashed and you're okay with it getting crashed.
Right, you've got to be willing to let it get crashed.
Yeah, you have to
hold it against them
yeah.
if they can't pay you.
Exactly.
Or if you don't have a car anymore.
Exactly.
Yeah, when that happened to me, by the way, this brother crashed my car. He didn't even say sorry. You know, he just. Yeah.
I think that's just wise to count the cost.
Yeah, and so
what you're doing.
What happened was, I'm like, yes, all right, whatever. I'm this awesome, amazing Christian. It's not gonna bother. But what I found is, about a month later, I was like, Then I had to kind of think about my heart. And it just took me a week, and then I forgave him, and they're like, whatever. And yes,
and while we're on this, too, I mean, loaning money is like a low-key contract that you're kind of signing. So in that same idea, going into business with another disciple, make sure you still don't want to just have handshake deals. Make it clear, just like any business, any contract. If you ever end up having an opportunity with a brother or sister or whatever, the financial.
Anybody,
really. But, you know, I'm just saying in regards to, like,
yeah, right. You would think he'd say, well, he's a brother or a sister. But no. He is a brother. He is a sister. But
the paperwork.
He's a sister, man.
Yeah. Whatever.
Get it.
Whatever.
It's regardless.
I know. Makes sense.
Also, rents and leases.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talk to me about it.
Make sure everybody's on the lease.
Yeah, I was in a brother's household. We had a...
Either that or another possibility is they're not on the lease. And that was an advice in a situation not too long ago. There would be two people on the lease, and they're going to charge everybody else, right? And they would actually, you know, make a little bit of a profit, you know, because they're taking all the risk.
Yeah.
So I said to the sister, so the rent is $2,400, so charge your people there $3,000. Yeah. Yeah. And it'll lower your rent, but if they bail on you, you're just going to have to, you know, let it go. Yeah. Wisdom. Just wisdom. Thank you.
It causes division.
It does cause division.
So, yeah. So, yeah. What I'm hearing from Oscar is, no matter what, be ready to let it go. If you're not ready to let it go, Oscar's saying, then don't do it.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
There's actually a scripture that if anybody asks you to loan money, then be ready to just, pretend like you're never going to get it back.
Yeah.
The way I've handled it is, basically, I don't loan money. I mean, I'm at $10 till tomorrow, whatever, but, you know, whatever. Yeah. Fill up your tank. But even that, you know, if they forget,
They do forget. Or just get them to buy a book and they never pay you.
Yeah.
Has that ever happened? Oh, yeah. A couple times.
Yeah, you know, and I just in the same money conversation, you know, I think that if, you know, when I first became a disciple, I had a product that I could